Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin learning the Mishnah, four lines from the top of Daf Lamed Daled, let's just note on the outside margin we have a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading. In this case, we have labeled the general topic as Tumois HaYotzei Migufo. This is a reference to different types of bodily emissions that result in the person becoming tomei. And in addition to that, there is an analysis regarding the liquids themselves and their capability of imparting tuma to those who have come into contact with them. Just a word of introduction by way of a point of importance before learning the Mishnah. We have a note on the inside margin of our Gemara where we have written a he'ora, just a note. Midoraisa, from the Torah level, Torah standpoint, Rak b'Yisraelis yesh tuma b'tuma hayutz min aguf, only by Jewish people. In this case, we'll talk about Jewish women, but the same applies to men as well. Only in the realm of Jews is there a concept of tumah hayotzei min haguf. Kagoyim, examples are dam, blood, roik, saliva, mei raglayim, urine. It should be pointed out that blood is metama lach biyovish. Blood, for example, a menstruant woman, the nida blood that comes from her is metama, whether it's wet, fresh, or dry. Roik umei raglayim, saliva and urine, on the other hand, lach velo yovesh, will be metame if they're fresh or damp, wet, but not if they're dried out. That having been said, we're making a clear distinction between Jews versus non-Jews. In the realm of tumah, non-Jews do not generate tumah on a Torah level, with the exception of a corpse. But other than that, there is no tuma that is characteristic of Gentiles. Tuma being a what we call ritual impurity. Furthermore, there are distinctions even within the realm of Jews and their different types of bodily excretions. As we just pointed out, some are metama only when they are wet. Some are metame when they're wet and dry. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. The Mishnah we've broken down into three sections. Roman numeral number 1, Dam Oivedes Kechavim, the blood of an idol worshiper woman, the Dam Taro Shel Mitzaras, and Dam Taro is the blood of a woman who gave birth, and there is a period of time following the birth that she is Tamea. For a male birth, that's 1 week. For a female birth, 2 weeks. Following that period of time, there is something called Dam Tohar, that in a normal case, a woman who is just a regular woman who gave birth, so any blood she sees will not result in her becoming Tomei. However, here we're talking about Dam Taro, that's that period of time after the Yemei Tumas Leda, and we're dealing with a woman who is a Mitzoraas. So these two cases, Dam Avodas Kechavim and Dam Taro Shel Mitzoraas, Beis Shammai Mitarim, Beis Shammai declare it completely Tohar, and Beis Hillel Oimrim Ke Roika Ulchamei Ragleha. Beis Hillel says that we're going to view these blood examples as we would deal with roik and mei ragleha. That's the saliva and the urine, which are metame. As we pointed out earlier, roik and mei raglaim are metame, only wet and not dry. So that what you see here is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are treating the blood, these two bloods, on a different level than the D'oraisa level. And the reason for that is that these two examples are min ha-Torah, from a Torah level, Torah standpoint, these are not metame. But on a rabbinic level, they imposed a gzerah. That is, Beis Hillel imposed a gzerah. Beis Shammai declares it totally tahor. The Gemara will deal with that later. It's also noteworthy that in this Mishnah, Beis Shammai appears to be the more lenient opinion, and that being so, it's featured in Maseches Eidos, which is a tractate of Mishnayos that features all the cases where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is stringent, which is, generally speaking, uncharacteristic of a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The second section of the Mishnah, Dam Hayoledes Shelo Tovla. This is a woman who gave birth, a Jewish woman who gave birth, and her Yemei Tuma went by. We mentioned what the Yemei Tuma were before, 7 for male birth and 14 days for female birth. So her Yemei Tuma passed, but she did not immerse herself in a mikveh. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Keroika Uchameme Ragleha. According to Beis Shammai, this situation is a rabbinic situation, because as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, the Tahara is assumed by the mere passage of days. So the fact is that the days passed, the Yemei Tuma passed. All that's lacking, so to speak, is her immersion in the mikveh. But the immersion in the mikveh is not something that is that makes a difference with regard to the blood. Therefore, on a Torah level, this blood is really tor, according to Beis Shammai. Therefore, on a rabbinic level, they imposed a gzera to treat it like roik and mei raglayim, but not to treat it as real dam, as dam of a person, of a woman who's really tamea. That kind of dam would be metama, even yavesh, even dry. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel says that this situation of dam hayoledes shelo tovla is a doraisa problem. And therefore, and what's the doraisa problem? Because the tahara of the blood is dependent on not only the passage of the days, but tevila as well. And she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh. Therefore, it's metame lach viyovesh. It's metame wet and dry, as we said, which is the way we treat dam tome, that's tome midoraisa. Umoidim, there is consensus. Bioiledis bezoiv, shehi metamo lach viyovesh. A woman who, when she gave birth, she was also a zova gedoila. So that kind of blood, the blood coming from a yoledis, that's a zova gedoila, that will be metame lach and yovesh. As we go into the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where we feature a nosei mivneh heading, where we have a topic heading and structural note combined into one. You'll notice that we have a volcano shape, and we've noted this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. The narrow part of the volcano shape facing upwards represents she'elois, questions, and the shape flipped over, tshuvos, represents answers. And we've written these are she'elos and tshuvos b'shitas Beis Shammai, within the shita of Beis Shammai, she'gozru al roiko umeime ragleho sheloivedes kechovim avoloi al domo. So the Gemara asks, "Veles lehu Beis Shammai? Does Beis Shammai Does Beis Shammai not hold from the following? There is a long question marking that we have here. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text an encircled kuf with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. So the Gemara asks, regarding Beis Shammai, who declared that the blood of an idol worshiper, woman, to be tohor, what about the following? Valesu Beis Shammai, do they not hold from the following? Dabero b'nei Yisrael v'yomarta lehem ish ish kiezov. That is the pasuk featuring a Torah law, which means b'nei Yisrael metamin beziva v'ein ho'evde kechavim metamin beziva. That only Jews have tumas ziva and not Gentiles. Avol gozru alehem shiu kezovin l'chol divrayim. But there is a rabbinic ruling that the idol worshippers are to be viewed as zovin, as complete zovin for all matters. And the reason for this is that we want to keep Jewish children away from idol worshippers who are suspect of homosexual relations. So that they, even though on a Torah level, idol worshippers do not produce tumah, nevertheless, the rabbis imposed tumah on them so as to keep the Jewish children away from the idol worshippers. That being said, so we see that there is a rabbinic imposition of tumah on idol worshippers, and yet Beis Shammai at the beginning of the Mishnah spoke about the dam of Eidos Kechavim as being tohor. The Gemara answers, Amri loch Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai would answer, Heichi levet, how can we impose a gezerah? Practically speaking, it's going to be difficult for us to impose a gezerah. L'tame lach v'yovesh, if we declare the blood of the idol worshipper to be metame, wet and dry, in other words, say that the rabbinic gezerah, the rabbinic ruling is to treat it like to metame, whether it's wet or even dry. Well, that's not good, because asisai kishel Torah. You've then treated the idolatrous blood as Jewish blood. And if you do that, then there's no recognition that there is a difference between them, and you'll come to, let us say the truma or kutchim comes into contact with the Gentile blood, which is only rabbinic, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to think that it's like Jewish blood, and I'm going to burn the truma or the kachim. And as we've spoken in the past, there's a prohibition of burning truma and kachim that are not really tamei. Another possibility that you might suggest, litame lach velo litame yovesh. Let us say that, well, let's impose a rabbinic ruling to metama the Gentile blood when it's damp and not when it's dry. In other words, instead of saying tohor legamri, totally tohor, say this. This would be a difference than the way we treat doraisa blood, Torah level tuma. This is saying that the blood of Gentiles would be metama fresh and not dry. Well, if you do that, then chilakta b'shel Torah. You've made a distinction between the Torah level and the rabbinic level. But you know what the problem here is? I'm going to make the same distinction with Jewish blood and say that Jewish blood also is metama lach and not yovesh. And that will also lead to a problem in the event that, let's say, Jewish blood comes into contact with truma or kachim. I won't burn them when, under those circumstances, I should. So, Beis Shammai feels that the only way to deal with the Gentile blood is to leave it as it is on its Torah level, and it's not tomei at all. Because if you attempt to impose gzeros, you're going to run into these two problems. Question. Ihachi roika umeme raglehonami. If we glance at the Rashi that's found in the lower part of the page, Ihachi roika umeme ragleha nami delegabi Yisraelis. We know that by Jewish women, lach velo yavesh, ki mitamis luhu by vedis kachavim asisu kishel Torah. When it comes to the Gentile roik and meiraglayim, that you are mitame them lach and not yavesh, you've made them like the Torah. The kaimulim meperek damanida roika v'niu mitame lachem velo yaveshin, and you don't seem to hesitate imposing a gezerah on the roik and meiraglayim of goyim, even though you are treating it as if it were a Torah roik and meiraglayim. Why not you take the same approach as you did to the blood and say that the roik and meiraglayim of the Gentiles will be totally tohor? So just to go over this question again, why is it then that by the roik and meiraglayim do you, Beis Shammai, agree that there is a gezerah under which we're metamet the roik and meiraglayim lachenat yavesh, which is the same way we deal with the roik, which is the same way the Torah deals with the roik and meiraglayim of Jewish people? But what about the problem that you said before of asitoy kishel Torah? The Gemara answers, kevon de avdinon hekera bedomo. Once we made a heker, a noticeable contrast with regard to their blood, meida yedia de roiku meiraglayim. People will know that in general their tumos are rabbinic, and they will not come to burn the truma or kutchin that came into contact with the roik and meiraglayim that was fresh of a Gentile. Question: why not try to make your heker this noticeable difference in the case of the roik and meiraglayim and declare them totally tohor and impose tuma on their blood? The Gemara answers, roika umeiraglayo deshchichi gozu burabonan. Saliva and urine, which is much more common than blood emissions, that they made the rabbis imposed a gezerah on that. Doma de lo shicha lo gozu beirabonan, but menstrual flows are not common relative to saliva and urine, hence they didn't impose a gzeret. And in general, one should know that the rabbis impose gzeres on milsa de shicha, on things that are common. There's a saying that milsa de shicha gozu beirabonan, things that are common, that is more subject to a rabbinic ruling, a rabbinic gzeira than things that are not common. Before going further, we have a topic heading for this piece of Gemara. Rava will be telling us a point of law, and on the side of the Gemara, there are no seg, we've written Zoivoi Vikirio Shel Goi, the Zov emission and the Keri emission of an idol worshipper. Gozru Tumo al kiryoi velo gozru al shichvas. Gozru tumo al zovo velo gozru al shichvazaro on his carry. The Gemara. Omar Rava. Zovoi tome afilu lebe shamai. The zov emission of a Gentile is tome, even according to Beis Shammai. The zov is a male emission that is different from a semen emission. So that is called zov. That will be tome, according to Beis Shammai. Namely, Beis Shammai, who regarding blood emissions declared Gentile blood emissions to be tohor, when it comes to the zov emission of a Gentile, that Beis Shammai will agree is Tomei. Kirioi Tohar Afilu Lebeis Hillel. The semen, the Keri emission, will be Tohar even according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, whom in the Mishnah we saw to be stringent in his approach to rabbinic rulings, here with regard to the Keri of a Goy, he is quite lenient. And the Gemara explains, Zoivoi Tomei Afilu Lebeis Shammai, Tohar Iko Lemevet Hakera Bekirioi. the Zov I can declare Tomei because we will have a point of recognition when it comes to his Keri. Namely, I'm not fearful that in declaring the Zov of the Goy, of the Gentile, Tomei, that I will come to burn Truma and Kochim that come into contact with his Zov, because by his Keri I know that that's Tor, which is unlike the Torah way of dealing with Keri. The Torah views Keri itself as a substance that is Tomei. Kiryoi Tahor, Afilu Lebeis Hillel, even if it's damp, Ovud Bei Rabbonan Hekera, the Rabbonan made this as the point of recognition, that point of contrast, where by a Jewish Keri, it's Metame Lach Velo Yovesh, it's Metame when it's damp and not when it's dry. The Goyesha Keri will be, the Gentile Keri will not be Metame even when it's damp. Why did they make this contrast? Why did they declare it Tohor? Ki hechi delo lisrafolei truma v'kotshim. So, as to not come to burn truma v'kotshim when it comes into contact with it. This having been said, I see that I deal with the male Gentile emissions differently than I deal with the Jewish male emissions. Question: V'levit hekero b'zovoi v'tumi v'kiryo. Why not make the heker in the zov and declare the zov tohar and metame the keri and say that the keri emission, the semen emission, will be tomei? The Gemara answers: Zovo delo toli b'maise gozu be'rabonan. The Zov emission is an emission that happens on its own, automatically. So something like that, the Rabbonin imposed a Gezerah. Kirio de Toli b'maise, a semen emission doesn't come about unless there is something called Chimum. Chimum has to do with some type of heating up. Either it's a heating up action or something heat-related, so that Keri doesn't happen on its own, but rather an additional factor has to be present. Lo gozru be rabbonan. So regarding that, they didn't impose a gezerah and left it on its Torah level, and which is totally tohar, because, once again, we're dealing with Gentile emissions. Lemo misayeh alei, can the following Tanaic source support Rova's teaching? Oivedes kechavim shepolta shichva zera miYisrael tamea. This source features a forbidden type of intimacy, but it's recognizing a possibility that exists in reality, and that is a Gentile woman had intimacy with a Jewish man. So in the insides of this Gentile woman is Jewish male semen. That woman, when it comes out of her body, when she's poletes the shichva zera, that substance is tomei. It's Jewish semen. Ubas Yisrael shepolta shichva zera min ha'ovei kichovim. Once again, a forbidden relationship, but recognizing the possibility of it happening, a Jewish woman that had intimacy with a Gentile man, and now this Jewish woman exudes the Gentile semen from her body, tahora. My love, what must this mean? Tahora gemura, totally tahor. That would be in support of Rava, who said that the semen of Gentiles, there is no gezerah imposed on it. Loi, that's not the pshat. Tahoira midoraisa u tumeya midorabonan. As far as this source is concerned, all it means is that on a Torah level it's Torah, but on a rabbinic level they did impose a gezerah, which is not like Rava. Toshma. So we bring another Tanaic source to, let's try to establish Rava's din as being either correct or questionable. We have a long marking, a Toshma marking. The Toshma is abbreviated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical descending dashed line, which takes you down a number of lines from the top of Amud Beis, at which point we will see that this source actually does support Rava's contention. This source says, Nimseis Oimer, Shichvas Zera Shel Yisrael Tamea B'chol Mokoim, Jewish semen is Tomei wherever, V'afilu B'mei Oivedes Kechavim. Now it's important for us to note that it says that the Shichvas Zera of Yisrael is Metama every all over, meaning certainly when it comes forth from a Jewish woman. This is after the woman had intimacy, so she may release, the semen may be released from her. So that certainly is Tomei. This source is saying even if it was a Jewish man having relations with a Gentile woman. In contrast, Vishel Oivedes, we are now at the top line of Amud Beis, in the middle of the line. Vishel Oived Kechavim, Tahoira B'chomokoim, the shichvas zera of a Gentile man is tohor wherever it is. Vafilu b'mei Yisraelis, even when it comes forth from a forbidden relationship with a Jewish woman, and the Jewish woman is exuding this Gentile semen, it is tohor. Chutz mimei raglayim sheba, with the exception of the case where there is urine mixed in. Rashi adds at the top, Chutz mimeimei ragleha sheba, the psichi. Psichi means mixed in. The psichi bimeimei ragleha, if it's mixed with urine, tameim kidamrinon liel, then there will be tuma that's imposed on the Gentile semen. As it was said before, Gozu alehem shu kizovim. There is a rabbinic ruling that the Gentiles are viewed as zovim. Avol kiryo tohar, pure Gentile semen is tohor, kiraminon avdu be rabbonon hekera. Now the Gemara analyzes this source. V'chi tema hachi nami tohora midoraisa avol tamea midorabbonon. If you're going to say that this source, when it speaks about tohora, it means purely on a Torah level, but on a rabbinic level there is tuma, otu mei ragleha midoraisa mi metamu. Is it so that when this source said, with the exception of mei raglayim, are you telling me that the Gentile mei raglayim on a Torah level is tamei? That's not so. Elo shma mino tahoira afilu midorabonon. When this source speaks about the keri being tohor, it's tohor even on a rabbinic level. Shma mina. This is conclusive. Just to go over the proof once again, this source has to be speaking, when it mentions tohora, it's mentioning its Torah even on a rabbinic level. That will enable me to read the end of the source that said that the Gentile semen is tohor, even if it comes from an Yisraelis, except for the case where there is Gentile semen, that Gentile urine that's mixed in. What do we mean? Well, in that case, there will be tuma. What kind of tuma? It can only be tuma de rabbonon. Hence, the term tahora used here has to be tahora, even midrabbonon, even on a rabbinic level. Omar Mar, Shichvas, this is a quote of that which we saw before, Shichvas Zera Shi Yisrael Temea B'chol Mokim Afilu B'mei Oivedes Kechavim. Jewish semen is Tomei even when it comes forth from a Gentile woman. As we said before, a forbidden type of intimacy, a Jewish man and Gentile women are not allowed under any circumstances to conduct intimacy with one another. And they did anyway. So we're telling you here that the shichvas zera, the semen that comes from the Yisrael, that is found or now exuded from the body of the Gentile woman, is that semen is tomei. The Gemara asks, Tifshot deboi Rav Papa. Let us conclude or resolve Rav Papa's question. What was Rav Papa's question? Deboi Rav Papa, Shichva Zera Shel Yisrael, B'mei'e Oivedes Kechavim Mahu. He asked, what is the din of Jewish semen coming forth from a Gentile woman? Well, if that's his question, so then this source would have answered that it is tomei. The Gemara answers that this source could not be used to resolve Rav Papa's question because Rav Papa's question didn't concern the circumstances of this source. Besoich gimel lo komabaya le Rav Papa. Within 3 days of the intimacy, semen that exudes within 3 days of its actual emission into her body, that is not the point of question according to Rav Papa, or Rav Papa's question didn't concern that. That is obvious to be tomei. The question that Rav Papa had was ki kama bayale la'achar shloi shomai. What about after 3 days? Now, before we go further, the source above that mentioned Shichba Zeresh Yisrael Tamei B'chol Mokoim, B'chol Mokoim means even exuding, or certainly exuding from a Jewish woman, and the source one said even exuding from a Gentile woman. Now, when you speak about the expression B'chol Mokoim, and we focus on Jewish women, the Shichba Zera of Yisrael will be Tamei, but in the case of a Jewish woman, only within 3 days. So it's from this point that I know that the source was dealing with the issue of Besoich Gimel. Rav Papa's question did not deal with the case of Besoich Gimel. Rav Papa's question dealt with after 3 days. So the Gemara pointed out that, let's read the last line again. Besoich Gimel lo komi bayali Rav Papa. Rav Papa's question did not deal within the 3 days of the emission, which was the topic of the source, but rather ki komi bayali liachar shloi shomai. What is the din of the semen that is emitted from the Gentile woman's body after 3 days, more than 3 days lapsed since the Jewish man had the intimacy with her. So now the Gemara points out there are two sides of the question, which we label Aleph, Oy Dilma. You'll see Oy Dilma a couple lines, squiggle underline, that's or, possibly Beis, the second side of the question. Do we say that Yisrael did daigi b'mitzvahs? Jews that are concerned with the performance of mitzvahs. After all, the Jews accepted the Torah, and the Torah has in it 613 mitzvahs. There are many mitzvahs that preoccupy Jewish attention all the time. So they're daigi mitzvahs. They're concerned about mitzvah performance. Chovil gufayu. It causes a certain level of body heat. Maybe it is associated with a certain low level of constant tension, or something else, but whatever it is, this concern with mitzvah performance causes a raised body heat, umasriach, and it causes the semen to rot, meaning after 3 days, we know that the semen coming from a Jewish body, from a Jewish woman, that's the male semen the Jewish semen in a Jewish woman, the Jewish woman's body heat will cause it to go bad, to masriach, to rot after 3 days. Gentiles that aren't laden with so many mitzvahs, they're not preoccupied with mitzvah performance. Their body heat isn't as high. V'lo masriach. So their body serves as a type of refrigeration, if you will, for the semen, hence prolonging its tumah lifespan, so that the Jewish semen inside a Gentile woman's body might have a prolonged tuma lifespan. Oy dilma kevon de achli shkotzu remotzim chavil gufayu masriach. Or since the Gentiles eat these type of food items which are forbidden to Jews, for example, the shkotzu remotzim include things like lobsters and shrimp and rabbit, mice, and other types of things like that, they body heat that would serve to create a increased body heat level, and they too would be causing the rotting of the semen after 3 days. Teku. So Rav Papa's question remains unresolved. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, which reads, Dam Tohar Shel Mitzoras. This is the blood after the Yemei Tumas Leda, the 7 or 14 days of a birth. That's the dam that comes at that point is called Dam Tohar, but it's coming from a woman who is a Mitzoras. The Mishnah mentioned that Beis Shammai is Metaher and Beis Hillel is Metame. The Gemara, Mai Taimo de Beis Hillel. Why is Beis Hillel Metame? Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, La Zohor. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Tezvov, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'hazov es Zoivoi, La Zohor, V'lane Kevo. That word lazachor l'rabois mitzora l'mayinoisov. That comes to tell us that a mitzora will be mitame through his ma'ayonos. Ma'ayonos is a general term referring to sources of different types of liquid emissions, bodily fluids. V'lanekeva. L'rabois mitzoras l'mayonoseha, to include the female, the woman who is a mitzoras, and her ma'ayonos. My ma'ayonoseha, what are you referring to specifically in this particular drosha? Ilemo shar ma'ayonoseha, if you're referring to the general or the other well-known fluid sources, which is a reference to saliva and urine. Well, mizochar nafka, those body fluids that a female has in common with a male are learned from the word zochar. That once you say that a mitzora also produces liquids that will be tamei, in addition to the fact that the mitzora himself is tamei, but his body fluids will also be tamei. By the way, before we go any further, let's just point out that not everybody that's tamei means that his body fluids are tamei. So that being said, we're talking right now about a mitzora. So his body fluids, if you're talking about those body fluids that are common to males and females, so the fact that a mitzora produces those fluids and that they are tamei is learned from the word lazohar. Elo, so therefore, what is vilanekeva, what is its role? Lidoma, it is to tell us about her blood. Litame dam tara shela, to mitame the blood that otherwise by other people, by other women, would have been tohar. So it's telling us that the mitzoras dam tohar is tomei. So that as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, there is an extra, or there's a term that's available to tell me about dam tohar of a mitzoras, that it is tomei. Beis Shammai says no, that the word valanekevo is not available simply because nekevo mizochar lo asya, unlike what Beis Hillel said, that a nekeva is mizachar nafka regarding her other ma'ayonos. Beis Shammai says, no, those other ma'ayonos, those body fluids that men and women have in common with one another, nevertheless, a woman cannot be derived from man. The female mitzoras cannot be derived from male mitzora. The ikol lemifrach, there is room to raise a pircha to that attempt. And what we've done with our markings, we've highlighted the word with the word ma with a house shape, because this will appear later in the Gemara in a similar structure of learning as a pircha to another type of limud. So in the meantime, the pircha is, I can't learn nekeva from zohar, because ma lezohar shekein ta'un prio prima v'osir b'tashir shamita. A male mitzora has elements of, we'll call, stringency that don't exist by a female. The male has to let his hair grow wild, and he has to rend his garments. And he is forbidden to conduct intimacy with his wife. Toimar b'nekeva delo. Should you say that which applies to a zohar should also apply to a nekeva that doesn't have these stringencies? And since she doesn't have these stringencies, it could be that her general body fluids would in fact be tohor. Therefore, I need nekeva for her basic body fluids, and it's not available to teach me about her dam tohar. Ubeis Hillel. Beis Hillel's response, lichtoiv rachmona b'nekeva. So let the Torah write the word nekeva and tell us about the mitzoras nekeva, who we see is more lenient, so to speak, than the male mitzora, and that her body fluids are a source of tumah, her saliva, her urine. The low boy zohar, and the Torah could have left out zohar. The ano amino, and I would figure uma nekeva she'eno tuna priya uprima, the eno asura betasha shamita, the female who has these leniencies. Ravi Rachmona Mayonoseha, yet the Torah includes her Mayonois. Zohar Loi Kolshikain, the Zohar who has the male Mitzora who has these stringencies, all the more so that his Mayonos will be Tomei. So that being said, the Torah could have written just Nekeva. What does the Torah gain by writing La Zohar? If the word lazohar isn't really needed for the male himself, tineo inyan l'nekeva, so apply it to the female. V'imeino inyan l'mayonoseha, and if it doesn't have reference to her general ma'ayonos, tineo inyan l'doma, then have it refer to her dam. It's pointed out that the dam, the blood emission, is not classified as a ma'ayon. It's a separate body fluid. And without getting into detail, there are different classifications for different types of body fluids, but it is so that the blood is not called a mayon, but we have this extra word to include the dam of the female mitzoras, letame dam taharo shelo, to impose tuma on her dam taharo. Ube Shammai. Well, Beis Shammai, what's his response to that? So he says, in other words, according to Beis Shammai, he doesn't see the word zohar as being extra and hence available to teach me about the dam toar. So what does he say? Beis Shammai zohar minekeva lo asya. Contrary to what Beis Hillel said, that zohar could have been derived from nekeva, not so. Zohar cannot be derived from nekeva. The ikol mifrach, you can challenge that attempt by ma l'nekeva. Notice we have this house marking again. This is the undoing of that comparison. Ma l'nekeva shekein metama moines. A female experiences tuma even when the blood flow comes on suddenly, which is blood flows create tuma in the case of a nida, for example. So, Tomar Bezochar Delo, by males, when it comes to male emissions, we say that if the emission came through oinus, oinus is something uncontrollable or something sudden, then it doesn't cause tumah. But by females, even an oinus, even something sudden and uncontrollable, does create tumah. So if you say that the female's mayonos are tame, I wouldn't necessarily know that by the case of the male. Hence, the Torah has to write the male for his basic ma'ayonos, and it's not extra to teach me about the dam Torah of the mitzaras. Ubeis Hillel, what's their response? Beis Hillel says, listen, we're right now using the words zohar nekeva, which are references to the realm of mitzora. Kaimi b'mitzora, parchi mili dezav. We're standing in the realm of Mitzorah, and you're going to use as your pircha something that is a non-Mitzorah concern. Namely, this idea of Tumah Ba'oinis is something that's relevant to a Zav, to a man that has a male-type emission. When it comes to male-type emissions, so then we say that it's not Mitama Ba'oinis. But we're not dealing with male emissions. Male Zav emissions. We're dealing with Tzaras right now. So a pircha from left field, from out of the ballpark, is unjustified. Ubeis Shammai. Beis Shammai, who does use that as a pircha, he says, Shum Tuma Parchi. Shum is like the term Tuma. After all, Tzaras is a type of Tuma, as well as Zav is a type of Tuma. So in the realm of Tuma, I can use that as an undoing of the comparison. So that as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, raising the issue of Oinus is not out of the ballpark, because he defines the ballpark as being Tuma. The Iboy Asema, a second answer or second response, a second possible response Beis Shammai would offer. Amri loch Beis Shammai, hai la zohar, miboya lei, the word la zohar is used up for something else. And not like Beis Hillel said that la zohar is here to teach me about the mitzoraz dam tohar. Rather, it's miboya lei, la zohar, kol shehu zohar, ben godol ben koton. That male emissions cause tumah. A Zav, male emission, will cause Tuma whether he is an adult or he is a minor. The Zav emission of a minor is also Tomei. So that's learned from La Zohar. Ubeis Hillel, where do they learn that point from? Nafka Lahu mi Zois Teras HaZav. Bein Godol, Bein Koton. So they have a separate pasuk for that age issue. Hence, as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, the word La Zohar in this pasuk of is in fact available for the Dam Tohar of the Mitzoras. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have some markings that will accompany this upcoming Sugya. And on the outside margin, you'll notice that we have a diamond featured that is boi, sidra shel she'elos, shemaschilos, you'll see a bow tie that will introduce re'iyah rishona shel, the first sighting of, we'll have different examples of first sightings, so that when you see the Gemara, if you skim ahead in the Gemara, when you see a diamond that connotes a question that will be raised. And the bow tie highlights the expression Rio Rishona. Now, we also note that the third bow tie in this series, in fact, is not a question, but it's rather a statement. And this is the note that we have here, and under our He'ora, that the He'ora being just a note, that the bow tie Hashlishis have a Memro Shel Rav Huna V'Eineno Sheila. It's a statement of Rav Huna's and not a question. The topic at hand, the immediate topic, is under our no say heading, Re'io Rishonu Shel Zav Koton, Mahu Shetetame B'mago. We will discuss the droplet that is emitted from a minor, a child, a male child. The first zav emission, the first droplet that comes from him, that the zav droplet, does it communicate tumah upon contact? When we speak about a child, we have to understand that a child does not produce shichvas zera. Semen is not characteristic of a child. But the zov type emission, which is a different fluid, can emerge from a child. Another general point to be aware of is that a zav, once he experiences two sightings, he becomes what's called a zav godol, means he has to observe 7 days of tahara, 7 clean days. Having been said, we now turn to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, ki poshit Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish bezav, when Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish would lecture on the issue of zav, boi hochi, he would raise the following question. Re'iyah rishona shel zav koton, the first zov sighting of a child, male child, a minor, mahu shetetame b'mago, would it communicate tumah upon contact, touching it? Two sides of the question, and we've labeled this with our standard Aleph Oy Dilmo Bey's marking scheme. The Aleph you can see right here, and a couple lines later you see a squiggle underlined Oy Dilmo expression, Bey's. So, Zois Teiras Hazav Asher Teitzei Mimenu Shichva Zera Oma Rachmona. This posuk features Zav and Shichva Zera, two different types of emissions. There's the Zav emission and there's the semen Shichva Zera, sometimes known as Keri emission. Kol Shichva Zera Shelo Metame, Ria Rishona Shelo Metame. Anyone whose Shichva Zera is Metame, so his first Zav sighting could be Metame. Vehai, that's the cotton. Kevan de Shichvas Zera Shelo Lo Metama, since he doesn't have Shichva Zera that's Metame, Rio Rishono Nami Lo Metame, because of the comparison, we will also say that his Rio Rishono, his first sighting of Zov, will not be Metame. Oy Dilma, or possibly, Kevan de Ilu Ihu Chozi Tarti, if that cotton would see a second Zov sighting, Mitztarfa, the first one that he had would join up. In other words, you can't call something this a second unless there's a first. So that we're saying, in effect, that a second sighting makes this Koton into a Zav. So we aren't totally ignoring that first sighting. So, Mitamya. So maybe the Rio Rishona of the Zav could be Matame on its own. Since it joins up to create to make him into a Zav, and the need for 7 clean days, so the first one is also of significance, and therefore it could be Matame through Maga. Omar Rova, Toshma. So we bring a Tanaic source in the hope of resolving our question. Zois Teras Hazav. That is a pasuk. Bein Godol, Bein Koton. Whether he be adult or minor. Ma Godol Ria Rishona Shelo Metame. Just like an adult, his first sighting is mitama, communicates tumah. Af koton rishona nami mitama. So to the minor, his first zov sighting will communicate tumah. So that source is quite conclusive and resolves the question. Boi Rav Yosef. We now are introduced to a second question. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have under our topic heading on the outside margin She'elas Rav Yosef. Re'iyo Rishona Shel Mitzoyra Mahu Shetetame V'Masa. In this question, we're focusing on a Mitzoyra. What about the first Zov sighting of a person who is a Mitzora. Will that first sighting Mitame B'masa? Now, B'masa has to do with carrying something. The rule concerning Tumas Masa tells us that liquids that come from a ma'ayon. We discussed ma'ayonos before. It's a reference to different liquid sources in the body, and certain liquid sources are classified as ma'ayonos, and a ma'ayon from a mitzora would cause tumas masa. Masa is tuma communicated through carrying it or supporting it, even without actual contact with the substance itself. But the fact that you might be under it, carrying it or supporting it, would make you tame. So what's important for us to analyze is the classification of zov. Is it like, let us say, urine, or like saliva, which are called ma'ayonos? What about the source of liquid that produces the zov? Is that a ma'ayon or not? So the question, let us now read inside. Boy Rav Yosef, Ria Rishonah Shel Mitzora, Mahu Shetetame B'Masa. Will that first Ria of zov coming from a person who happens to already be tame as a Mitzora, will that droplet Metame B'Masa? This is also a question with two sides. Aleph oy dilma beis. Mokoim ziva ma'ayon hu umetame. Do we say that the source of the ziva is classified as a ma'ayon, and hence it will be tame b'masa? Oy dilma lav ma'ayon hu, or possibly it's not a ma'ayon. The Gemara goes on with different shitos that relate to this question. In other words, they have comments on this matter. And what we've done with our markings is, with the use of a double underline under our mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see the double underline represents deos hamisyachasim l'she'elo hanal, different opinions that relate to this particular question. So Rava relates to this. Omar Rava Toshma. He says, well, let's try to conclude the question from the following source. Zoivoi Tomehu. Limeid al hazoiv shuhu tome. Now, this is a very abbreviated source, but one very important point that has to be added, and that is that this is a reference to a Re'iyoshniya, the second sighting of a Zov. The second sighting. Not to confuse this with our question, which regards the first sighting. So we have a source that says that the second sighting of a Zav is Tomei, a special Gzeiras HaKosov to get this point across. Bemai, well, what is this talking about? Who is this talking about? He lemo bezav greda. If you were to think that we're talking about a non-mitzora zav, a regular zav, well, would you need this gzeres hakosuv? L'achirim goreim tuma li'atzmoi lo kol shekein. The second sighting of a zav creates tumas masa for the person. The person himself becomes tomei. That means if someone carries around a zav, if someone carries around a zav or supports a zav on top of him, even without touching him. In other words, if you had the zav was lying on a bed and you picked up the bed with the zav on it, if you're talking about a zav who had a second sighting, so the second sighting causes the Zav himself to generate Tumas Maso, Li'atzmoi Lo Kol Shekein, regarding the drop itself, all the more so, it would be Metame B'Maso. Elopshita, this source is talking about Bezav Mitzora. Now, the Kal v'chomer we just made would not be relevant in the case of a Zav who's a Mitzora. And the reason for that is that it wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to say that L'achirim Gorem Tuma, that the tipa is causing the tuma. If a person is a Mitzora beforehand, he's already Tame because of the Tzara'as, because of this the skin discoloration that we associate with Tzara'as, that's what makes the person Tame. So that the Kal v'chomer we just mentioned wouldn't apply in the case of the Mitzora. Therefore, we can say that you need a Gzeiras HaKosuv to talk about the droplet, the second droplet of the Mitzora Ziva. From the fact that Torah has to go out of its way to marbe the second sighting of the Mitzora that saw Ziva, a second Ziva sighting, Shma mino mokom Ziva lav mayonhu. It must be that the mokom Ziva, the source from which the Ziva emerges or emanates, is not a Mayon. Because if it was a Mayon, it would automatically be known to be a source of Tuma. We said before that the Mitzora's Mayonas are Metame. That we learned from the Pasuk Lazochor Lenakeva. So from the fact that you need a separate Gzeiras HaKosuv, a special scriptural reference to deal with the Ziva of a Mitzora, it must be that the Ziva does not come from a Ma'ayon. Amar Lei Rav Yehuda Midiskarto L'Rova. By the way, before we go on, if that were the case, if you say the Mokom Ziva is not a Ma'ayon, so that would answer our question about the Riyah Rishon of a Zav Mitzora. Is it Metame v'maso? The answer is it's not Metame v'maso because it's not a Mayon. Amale Rav Yehuda midiskarto l'rova mimai, who is to say thusly, dil molio lomei moloch bezav greda. Maybe this posuk, and namely the source that brought the posuk in at the bottom of Omid Beis, is talking about a regular zav. And we should point out, by the way, that we are already a few lines down on Lamed Hey Omid Aleph. We're continuing in the Gemara, six lines from the top of Lamed Hey Omid Aleph, so that Rav Yehuda Midiskarta is telling us that we are talking, in fact, about a regular Zav, not a Mitzora, in that Gzeiras HaKosuv. Udeko Amris La'achirim Gorem Tumo Li'atzmo Kol Shekein, and that you said it couldn't be talking about Azav Greda, because we know that the Tipa Shnia causes Tuma to others, so it itself, others meaning the person, so it itself all the more so. He points out that that logic has a fault to it. Soyer Hamishtaleach Yochiach. The case of the Yom Kippur goat that's sent out of the Beis Hamikdash to a cliff that over which it is pushed and carries with it our sins as a form of atonement proves otherwise, proves that this logic is not true or is not solid. What is the case of the Sar Mishtalech? Shegorim Tumalachirim, the person who carries out this goat on Yom Kippur becomes Tomei. Vehu Atzmo Tor, but the goat remains Tohor. So that if you are trying to discount the possibility of the source speaking about a Zav Greda based on that logic, forget it. The logic is not tight, therefore the source may very well be talking about a Zav Greda, and hence doesn't shed any light on the topic of a Zav Mitzora. Omar Abaye. Abaye responds, and we are calling this a long point. There's a nun to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Abaye says, "My tiboya lei." What is Rav Yosef's question to begin with? Vahu di Omar. But is it not he who said Zois Teras Hazav? That's a posuk. Bein Godol Bein Koton. Whether it be an adult or a minor, the Kema de Nafkale Mehasam. So since it is learned from over there, Isulei Lazochor, the Rabois Mitzora Lemainosov, Nikevo, the Rabois Mitzora Lemainoseha. So that the issue of age of Zav, that is dealt with by the Xeris Akosov of Zeus Teras Hazav. The Pasuk that mentioned that we had discussed earlier in today's Shir, you've got the word lazochor is extra, that is l'rabois mitzorim anasel, and nekevo from that same posuk is l'rabois mitzorim anasel. V'akshe rachmona mitzoro l'zav gomor, and the Torah makes a comparison between a mitzor and a zav gomor, and a total zav. Ma zav gomor mitame b'maso. Just like a complete Zav is Mitame through Maso as well, Afriyo Rishena Shel Mitzora Mitame B'Maso. So too, the first sighting of a Mitzora, the first Ziva sighting from Mitzora, will be Mitame B'Maso. So by virtue of this comparison between Mitzora and Ziva, we come to the conclusion that the Rio Rishona Shel Mitzora is Mitame B'Maso. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.